Amplify your mid-mornings with praise and worship on Mid-Morning Empowerment every weekday from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It's a good morning to you, Oyama, and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Morning, Tammy. Thank you very much for the invite, and good morning to your listeners as well.
Thank you very much. Now, Oyama, I'm very curious about your surname. What's the root of your surname? It's a quite an interesting surname.
Valashi.
Yeah.
To be very honest, I really don't know where it's rooted from.
Yeah.
But if there are any people who know. Amanguni, the Lishubi.
Okay.
Ngelenge, Lumalandel. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Gushuti, if somebody does something that is just not right and is just not going the right way, we are Valushie and Jay.
Yes. Close and leave.
Yeah. No talking, no. But I think that's a very unique surname. I actually quite like the surname, and my kids have been asking me, where does that surname come from? And it's quite a unique surname.
Yes. I don't know if you know Ematatien.
Yeah.
Just below
KZN,
the Drakensberg Mountains.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Valashia surname hails from there. We have some Valashias in Stakespreet.
Oh, yes.
Well. Yes, so yeah. Kamashu Binji.
Oh.
Kuzo.
You know, I love Africa because we've got all these different backgrounds, but every background has got something unique and beautiful about it.
No, definitely. Definitely. I think that's the nice thing about Africa, that we have that uniqueness that binds us, and in our diversity, we can be tolerant and learn to live with one another. I mean, I think it's by God's design.
Yeah.
It's by God's design.
And if you dig deeper into it, you find something that defines our clan within our surnames to say, this is what we were all about. And
yes.
And this is the history of who we were about within our community. And I love how these surnames Nesithakazelo define these things for us.
Meaning, as African people without any written history, oral history was very important. And then the first place to learn about oral history was at home. So with these Thakazelo, you could learn, about the journeys of your family and how everything has become what it has become now, you know. And obviously it's very poetic as well, because I know that part of my clan names, there's a line that says umlamba uwelwa uwelwa zinkonjani ngoba zona ziyabhabha.
You know? Hey, wait, before we get taken away, let's just do a recap of what we spoke about yesterday. And there's one thing that rang in my mind even as I was going home, the issue that God has not given us the date of his coming just to keep us on the right track, lest we become mischievous in our as we wait for him.
No, definitely. And what's also very amazing about that, because some people would say, why does God want to keep us on anticipation? Why doesn't he just give us the day? The text that you quoted in Thessalonians, Paul says that these things do not catch us unawares. God has not given us the date, but he has given us the signs to be wary of. So he says, watch. So the signs are there. Just keep watch. Looking at the signs, and the message is there for you. There's a very big element of faith. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says that, you know, for it is impossible to please God without faith. So when we know the date, we negate faith.
Yeah.
So how shall we please God when there is no faith?
Yeah.
So anticipation is there to build our faith.
And you also touched on the element that says every day is the last day. Every day we can expect that it's either we die or we lay to rest, and or the second coming of the Lord may happen, though we know the signs are of every day are there. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I mean, you know, sometimes we gloss over some stories in the Bible. There are sad realities that there are people who are alive, who are walking among us, whose probation has already been closed. Hey. Look at the story of Saul, the king of Israel.
Yeah.
He lived for many years, but his probation was closed.
Yeah.
So taking for granted the day that you have could be taking for granted your probation, because God does not deal with us all in the same way. God deals with us in a unique way. And Hebrews says it so clearly. Today, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart, because you could be hardening your heart for the last time.
Powerful. Now, let's jump into today's conversation, Oyama. The issue for me that, and I wanted to start off with the text, but I will get to the text. The issue that there's a picture that has been painted, and my last guest on I was talking to Oplek Nxumalo indicated that TV has become a vehicle to misconstrue the truth. And one of the truths that has been misconstrued is the element that everyone goes to heaven to say, and they've even gone to say, no, your father has gone to heaven and your father was a thug. So my question then is everyone going to heaven, including the thugs?
No, not everyone is going to heaven. There's a very important doctrine to be noted here, my brother, is that God has never been a tyrant, and he will not be a tyrant for eternity future.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is that when judgment comes, remember, we who are sinners here on earth are going to enter into community with angels and unfallen worlds. And if we're proving ourselves here on earth that we do not want to live according to God's laws and according to God's dictates and what he wants for our lives, we cannot then be translated to then go share community with angels and to share community with the unfallen worlds. Angels who, when they see God, they cover their faces and sing, holy, 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 holy. And yet here on earth, you are living an irreverent life, a kind of life that makes God hide his face from you, because that's how sinful the life is that you are living. And then you want then after that, therefore, God to say, no, don't worry, you can come into heaven. The angels would be offended by such. And how will we be able to ensure that the words that are spoken, the text alludes in Amos that says affliction will not rise up a second time. There has to be an end to the sin problem. And if the sin problem was created by disobedience, how can the disobedient be permitted in?
Yeah, that's very powerful, because imagine somebody was a gold stealer and then the streets are made of gold.
Exactly. He won't enjoy. He'll be thinking of different ways of stealing this gold from the street.
Yeah. Now, there's a verse in Matthew, chapter 24, verses 40 to 41. And this verse has been misinterpreted quite a lot. It says, two men will be in the field. One will be taken and another left. Two women will be grinding with their handmill. One will be taken and the other left. And the interpretation that has been perpetuated and pushed is that this is the rapture. So the rapture says one will be taken, one will not be taken. And can we just get some clarity around this one?
You know, if the clarity that we can get from this is that sometimes we seem to be doing the same thing with the people that are around us. We go to church, we pray, we work together and all of those things. And we create these bonds with them. But there's a 50-50% chance that you and the person sitting next to you are not going to the same place.
Yeah.
And this is what Jesus is warning us about, because when you read about the 10 virgins again, the 10 virgins are also split in two. There were five wise ones and there were five unwise ones. You know, so it basically shows us that the world is made up of two choices, mm-hmm. no more than that. There's nothing in between.
Yeah.
There's one who will be going and there's one who will not be going.
Mm-hmm.
There's no in between where you say, well, I did not choose not to go, but I'm also choosing not to go, so I'm in between.
Mm-hmm.
So what that message is giving us is that in life, there are only two choices to be made, and you cannot make more than those two choices, whether you're on the side of Christ mm-hmm. or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And the highest possibility is that the person sitting next to you, or worse, rather, not worse, more clearly, you, should you not watch, could be the person who stays behind.
Mm.
Because the Bible is not about my neighbor.
Mm.
The Bible is about me.
Mm. 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 Powerful. Powerful. And I want us to quickly rush through the book of Matthew chapter 24,
mm-hmm.
Oyama. There's verses, because I also want us not to wrap up this conversation without talking about how he is coming, because that's a very crucial point in this conversation.
Yes, sir.
There's the issue of Matthew chapter 24, verses 31, and Mark chapter 13, verse 27, which then say, "And he will send out his angels with a mm-hmm. loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end mm-hmm. of heaven to the other." The Bible is very deliberate in its language, and one of the words that it uses, it says elect. Not everyone is elected. Who are these elect, and what does it? How does one become part of the elect?
You know, the call for salvation is full and free.
Mm-hmm.
There's room, and the song that you started with is very beautiful in saying that, come, indawise corner. There's still room for you.
Mm.
So the elect are those who respond to the call.
Yeah.
And once you respond to the call, here's where the process of election then happens.
Mm-hmm.
Then you receive a mission.
Yeah.
That you are supposed to take out into the world.
Mm.
So the marching orders that you receive
mm-hmm.
make you the elect.
Okay.
So there are many who respond to the call, but fail to make their election sure. If you read 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, make your call and election sure. So there's a call that says, come all you who are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. And here's the election: take up my yoke, for my yoke is easy. So the elect are those who take up the yoke of Jesus Christ, because unfortunately salvation isn't going. You need to preach the good news in order for you to experience the true working of salvation. So accepting Jesus Christ and not bearing fruit leaves you, unfortunately, on the other side. And this is why we have that message that says, Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And Jesus says, but I never knew you. But they have a list of things that they did in Jesus' name, but they failed to bear fruit. When I was hungry, you did not feed me. When I was in jail, you did not visit me. When I was naked, you did not clothe me. So that's the gospel. That's what we need to take to the people, good news. So the elect are those that have taken the Great Commission with both hands and have moved forward with it, preaching and making sure that they are not the only ones who are being saved.
Powerful, powerful. I hear you saying, Oyama, is that, because you started by saying that the invitation to salvation is open to everyone. So is this an assurance that there is no predetermined people that will be in heaven? All of us have been invited.
Definitely. All of us have definitely been invited. I mean, you read the story in Matthew about the king who is making a great feast for his son. He sends invitations to a particular people who all have excuses.
Yeah.
Then the message is, go to the highways and the byways and go everywhere and invite anyone and everyone that you see. And people are invited in. And there's a gentleman who comes, or a particular person who comes, and he does not take this robe of righteousness that he has been given by the or the robe for the wedding feast that he has been given.
Mm.
And he's asked, where is your robe, friend?
Mm.
That means this person accepted the call,
mm-hmm. mm.
but failed to accept the election.
Yes.
So where is your robe, friend? Mm. And then that's how he's then kicked out of the wedding feast. So there's no one who's predetermined to come in or to go out.
Yeah.
Everyone has a free chance to come and accept Jesus Christ. Mm. There was a on the cross, there was a thief that was forgiven for. And people can say, well, the thief did nothing to Jesus Christ. There was a centurion at the cross who was part of the crucifixion, who was part of rolling the dice for Jesus's garments, who received salvation.
Mm.
So you cannot be too far to be saved. Mm. Salvation is for everyone.
And I think John 3 verse 16 then summarizes it up for us, because it says that it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only son, that whoever that whoever then puts everyone into the invitation, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That that verse for me then summarizes it to say this invitation is open to everyone in the human race.
That is very true. That is very, very true. It is exactly that. Everyone has an opportunity. But unfortunately, people refuse to be saved in God's appointed way.
Now, there's a question here. Let me quickly go to that question from Utapelo. He says, is it a question? Okay, it's a question. He says, given that salvation is for everyone, juxtaposed with a God who knows the future, does God know who and how many will be saved?
So maybe let's start here with the matter of who. God is a God of order. There are laws that he has implanted. So the question is, if someone jumps off a high building, what's the only outcome you will receive?
Die.
You fall straight to the ground down because there's a law of gravity. And we see this when the devil tempts Jesus Christ and he says, go up on a high rock, jump. And for God said he will send his angels to come and catch you, so your foot does not hit the rock. And Jesus responds, thou shalt not test the Lord your God. We have a lot of people who, because you happen to be born into the truth, you suppose that you are predetermined to be saved, and therefore you can live a life as and how you want it because God will save you. But that's not the case, because the law says that should you break the law, you are guilty of breaking the law, and the wages of sin is death. So the only thing here that happens, it means that people need to make the choice to say, I am incapable of keeping the law. Therefore, I'm surrendering my life to Jesus Christ. And salvation is a miracle. It's not a everyday scenario. This is why all the angels in heaven are so perplexed by this. This is why it will be a study for eternity how God managed to save humanity. So in essence, what the Bible teaches us is that all have fallen short of the glory of God. So meaning no one is in a position to be saved, or no one is in a position to go into heaven. It is only by accepting Jesus Christ and the miracle of mercy do we then get saved. That's why no one can go to heaven and say, I have done this. This is my merit. So in God's foreknowledge, it comes to a point where it says that I am only saving those that are in Jesus Christ. And therefore his foreknowledge is placed in Jesus Christ to say that Jesus, in you, all will be saved. And then only those that come through Jesus Christ will be saved.
And I want to believe maybe on that heaven does everything in its power to save everyone.
No, definitely. That's very true. You know, the Bible is very clear that God would have that no one be lost. That's not God's plan. But humanity allowed to choose and make their decisions. And here's where things happen. You know, we all have different propensities and we all have different weaknesses. Sometimes you have weaknesses that are very, very, very big. And God says, let me surround you with the right kind of support for you to make the best decision possible. But unfortunately, maybe to speak to the part about the number of people that can be saved, there are things about God we cannot respond to while we are here on earth. We just need to trust in God. And trust in his wisdom and trust in his benevolence. And this is the gap for faith. We don't know if there's a number of people that needs to be saved. We don't know how God works with those that are working out their own destruction. We don't have answers for that. But so, we just need to trust God.
So there is no specific number, because some people have said only the 144,000.
No, there's no specific number. And sadly, those people who teach that also teach that 144 is already full, but they still attend church. And you're like, so why are you still going? Because there's no longer space for you.
Yeah, you know, I like that one. And before we close, I said this one we do not want to miss out on, Oyama. Let's talk about how is he coming? Who will see him? Because we've heard instances that, he in some places, I remember some time they said, in 1992, there was this thing that was going on, and they said, 1992, October 22, they said that Christ is coming on the 2nd of October. I knew he was not coming because I'd been taught these things already. But yes. How will he come? Will he come secretly? Will he land in the desert? Maybe will come using, you know, the Airbus. I don't know. How will Christ come?
You know, Christ will come, and it will be the one most global spectacle that all humanity has seen. You know, when Paul says that for in him we live and we have our being, the conception that we have is that the universe is there and God is outside of the universe and looking into it. Rather, we are, the universe is within God, for God is eternal. God is infinite. And in terms of infinite, we're talking space. So God fills every other space. So him being able to show up to everyone at the same time, and all eyes, every living human being will see Jesus when he comes back at the same time. There are not those that are going to see him first and others not see him first. Imagine if we saw him first here in Africa. There are other people that need to wait. You know, as the sun, as how the sun rotates around the world. There are other people who need to wait to see him. While we are being caught up, there are others who are like, oh, what's going on? Then, you know, but all of us will see him at the same time. And there's an amazing phenomena that Revelation speaks about. It says, even those that pierced him. So those that pierced him have a special resurrection set aside for them, you know, just to resurrect and see the Jesus that they crucified. But all eyes shall see him at the same time, and the trumpet sound shall reach everyone at the same time. And all those that are waiting to see Jesus Christ and are hastening his return shall say, this is our God. Long have we waited for him at the same time.
And to our listeners, just in case you're wondering which verse Oyama was quoting about those who pierced him, that's Revelation chapter 1, verses 7, that says, look, he's coming with the clouds. And I think for me, that's something that we should also touch on. He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. And the fact that he's coming with the clouds, he's not coming with the Boeing 707, he's not coming, you know, for me, that's a very specific detail.
That is very, very true. And I mean, Ellen White tells us that the clouds is talking about the hosts of heaven, the angels. The text that we read from Matthew 24, verse 31, it says, he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Yeah. I mean, they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. So all the angels of heaven will be coming with him, and they will be formed around him. It will look like they are a cloud as he comes down. Ellen White explains that it's going to start as if it's the size of a man's fist, and it will eventually grow and grow and grow and grow. And the glory of the Lord will consume the earth and will darken the sun. Can you imagine the sun being dark because there's something much brighter, much, much brighter than it.
Powerful. And as we wrap it up, it says in, I think it's Revelation 22, it says, behold, I come soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of prophecy in this book. So as we wrap it up, who is he coming to take? Is he coming to take that those that have kept his words, or is just coming to take every human being?
He's coming to take those that have kept his word. Definitely those that have not kept his word will unfortunately not find any happiness in heaven, because they didn't find happiness with being with Jesus Christ here on earth. How will we find happiness in heaven? Tammy and the listeners, Jesus Christ's coming is not to change us to become saints or to become better Christians. It says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. You know, when you receive a reward, it means what needed to be done is done. So there's nothing that can be done for you after that or on that particular day. If he's coming with a reward, it is for those that have that deserve to receive what they are receiving. If to perdition, to perdition. If to salvation, to salvation. But this is a choice that we all need to make. Being born within the truth of the Seventh-day Adventist Church does not save you. Knowing the truth does not save you. A living, saving relationship with Jesus Christ is what will save you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it for yourself right here on the Mid-Morning Empowerment. Those that keep the law of the Lord will be saved. And it's not everyone that's going to heaven, but as long as we've got a living relationship with the Savior, we're definitely guaranteed to be part of the heavenly kingdom. Oyama, we just want to say thank you for coming through to the Adventist World Radio and sharing your very powerful insights into this conversation about the second coming of Jesus.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Tammy, for having me. And thank you very much to the listeners. May you please have a blessed and prosperous 2025.
The same to you, and God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. God bless.
That was Oyama Valashia giving us some challenging insights into that the second coming of Jesus. Who is he coming to take? And you heard it for yourself. You've got to make a decision.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.